Blog Talk Radio.
Kid radio show. Oh, give me a second. I love that song. I love that CD. It's very old. It's Fred Hammond from back in the day, Something About Love. And I say that the CD is awesome because it has a dual purpose. It's mostly, there's some up-tempo music on there, but it's mostly slow songs, and it's very, very romantic. And when you listen to the music, you can sense that there is a lot of adoration and love towards God, but you also get to, you know, like if you're me, you're married, you can take those lyrics and you can internalize them towards your spouse. So I find myself, you know, looking at the man that God gave me in his image to love me like Christ loved the church, I find myself thinking about God and thinking about my husband when I listen to those lyrics. You know, how his love is overflowing and having tears coming from my eyes like a waterfall, and how I'm constantly in thought about him. But anyway, okay. So that's, I'm about to be talking about the CD, and, you know, that's not why we're here, but I did play that song intentionally because it is very much connected to what we will be talking about today. So, number one, as usual, like I said, thank you all for tuning in. I'm happy you're here. I'm here. Always excited to see what's going to come forth. You guys know I love my topics to be relevant. I like them to deal with the issues that we are having in the kingdom, and maybe not always necessarily issues, but just topics about the kingdom. And one issue has really began to trouble me more and more. It's not like it's never troubled me before. However, it just seems like it's a constant theme that keeps coming up. And I don't know about you guys, but I don't get it. Why is it that when we talk about sex in the kingdom, everything gets, you got it, quiet? Something's wrong with that. And so I've had the chance to mentor people, just have conversations with people in passing, wanting advice. And this is actually a really serious issue in the church. And you want to know what's even crazier? I have found that this issue is very prevalent in young couples. And when I say young couples, I'm talking like maybe between 21 to under 30.
And so I think that somebody ought to just, and not that anybody else hasn't done this before, but I think that somebody ought to just say, hey, let's have a bold conversation about sex and look at it from God's perspective and go ahead and not, you know, be so holy that, you know, it's kind of like, shh, you know, no, we're not going to do that. So I know that I pretty much have an adult audience. I don't plan on saying anything that is inappropriate. However, I have a variety of people that listen to my show, and if, you know, you have some red flag comments or whatever, you let me know. But I'm going to be very open. I'm going to be very blatant, and I'm going to talk a little bit from a worldly perspective and then from a godly perspective because, you know, I've experienced both sides of this, but I still believe that there's a lot that they there are some things about them that intertwine, believe it or not. So when I'm speaking on this, you may or you may not like my conversation, but I'm always begging you, please endure till the end so that you can get the whole gist of what I'm trying to say before you're too quick to pass judgment. Also, I mentioned it last week. I'm going to put it out there again. I don't want to hold questions and comments till the end anymore because I know that sometimes I say things and they get you, and you're like, whoa, I got something to say. And if you have to hold it until the end, then you may forget about it or kind of lose it or let it go. And I really want there to be as much interaction as possibly, I mean, as possible. So please, you know, if you have a question or comment as I'm going through, chime me in. Push that button one so that I can pull you in. Just at least let me finish my thought whenever you do that. But anyway, so I'm going to dip back a little bit to the worldly perspective, okay? I know that when I was coming up, I was considered to be what some would call a hot girl. I was fast. And when I was in the world, you know, I did what I did. Now, I'm not talking about revealing all of my secrets or what I did, but I was very free when it came to the topic of sex. I wrote all kind of poetry and, you know, about looking at strangers across the room and drinking and, you know, it wasn't always just erotic. I mean, it could have been any of the above. It could have been extremely erotic. It could have been extremely romantic. It could have been extremely pure, like a friendship. But I wrote a lot about relationships, and I took pride in that, and I used to read the poems all the time. I would go to open mics, and me and my friends, my aunts, everybody would be like, read this poem, man. I mean, and we were excited about it, you know. And if I hooked up with somebody, you know, I ain't even trying to be funny. The stuff you see on the movies, that's what we do. Be like, girl, so, you know, how was he? Not that we went and gave our girlfriends play-by-play. Some of us did, which was crazy. But we still would be like, girl, yeah, he was like that. It was good. Or we'd be like, oh, my God, it's the worst thing I ever did. I cannot believe that, oh, he'll never touch me again. But we talked about it. So what happens between when we are unsaved to when we get saved that all of a sudden it's kind of quiet? You know, because I'm going to be honest with you. I have a daughter. She's 19. I don't want my daughter to look at sex as, oh, my God, I'm a lady, and the scriptures say don't adorn yourself with the jewels. You know, it's about your inner beauty, not your outer beauty. And, you know, act like sex is something that she's supposed to be afraid of. You know, me and my husband aren't like two whores over each other, but our children see intimacy in our household. They see hugs and kisses and, you know, and us messing with each other or me laying on his lap or my head on his shoulder because I want them to see what healthy, romantic, intimate relationships look like. You know, and when I got saved, I didn't say, ooh, let me take all the freaks and throw it down the drain, and now I'm so holy that I'm, you know, no, we can't do that anymore. And, you know, like, no, I'm not going to bend over. I'm not going to turn around. I can't do this. It's missionary position only. You know, I didn't all of a sudden turn into a prude or, you know, just some stuck-up chick. And I really honestly believe that has a lot to do with having a healthy relationship. I've talked to young women literally who said, well, you know, now that I'm saved and, you know, I'm getting closer to God, you know, I don't want to offend God, and I just don't even feel comfortable anymore, you know, doing this, and I used to make this clap, or I used to do that, and I just don't want to do it anymore. And my thing is, where does that thought process come from? You know, and I'm going to be honest with you, a lot of times it comes from a bunch of prudes in the church that are like, you know what, you know, that's one of the reasons why, well, let me slow down, make sure you're following my every thought. You'll hear a lot of, and it's not just older women, but unfortunately, yeah, it's older women. I'm calling you elders out. You'll be like, well, you know, that's one of the reasons why you're supposed to save yourself to marriage, you know, because you taint the sexual experience when you've had multiple partners, and you will find yourself wanting your partner to do things that some other man did, or that's the problem with some men. They entertain pornography and so many other women, and they're wanting you. No, sweetie, you don't have to want to do that, because they're looking at you like you're one of the whores or the women that they used to be with, and you don't have to do that anymore, and any man is going to love you and respect you, and he's not going to require that of you. But the thing about it is, at the end of the day, maybe that's just not her thing. I mean, don't get it twisted. I mean, some of us are more, quote unquote, for lack of a better way to put it, more boring in the bedroom than others, okay? You know, some of us like to do things that other people don't. Some of us are more exciting. Some of us are more laid back. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about when you switch who you are and you turn that thing off. Yeah, I understand that it could have been tainted or perverted, but listen to me. Anything that God has given can become tainted and perverted. Let's 2 seconds. I'll give you an example taking it off of sex. My mouth. Oh, my God. My mouth was notorious. I would curse you out, cut you up, and then call it a verbal thrashing. I began to get more turned on by dogging someone out verbally than I did by putting my hands on them if I had an issue. Now, so does that mean that once I become saved, that now all of a sudden I'm supposed to be quiet and not say anything? Because, it, you know, out there in the world, I learned to cuss like a sailor, and I use my mouth the wrong way. No! God made me boisterous. He made me powerful when I speak. So now when I speak, instead of cussing you out, I'm trying to build you up. I'm going to keep it 100 with you if you're out of order, to try to help correct the behavior and then talk to you to correct the behavior. But I don't turn off who I am just because I got saved. So if my natural character is to be vivacious, then I need to stay vivacious even when I get saved. It's just that now I'm no longer vivacious with any and every dude that I think that I'll let hit, or I want to hit, or then it tricked me into letting him hit it. Now I'm just going to be vivacious and, you know, and ooh-wee to my husband. So, you know, women, we're not supposed to cut that thing off. I don't care, you know, some churches, you know, especially the super saved ones back in the day, Church of God in Christ, told you don't wear earrings, you don't wear lipstick, you're going to be looking like a Jezebel, your skirt need to be hanging down to your ankles. And see, what did I tell you? You've got to be careful when you're soliciting advice to people to make sure that you understand the full content of God's word, so that you tell them what the Holy Spirit says. See, that scripture that they was going to in the New Testament, it didn't mean that you couldn't wear jewelry. It just meant that you better not find your identity in making yourself look sexy. You weren't supposed to find your identity in being a woman by what you could do by the outer side, because the word of God says that he does look at the inner heart. But if you go to the Song of Solomon, I mean, he told her, he said, ooh, baby, your lips are scarlet, and I love the way he talked about the jewelry and how it adorned the woman's neck and her ears. So God, in the most romantic book in the Bible, he talked about the essence of a woman inside out. And if it wasn't her clothes and her jewelry, then it was the essence of her spirit. And actually, you know, and so, yeah, let me slow down. I'm getting excited, if you can't tell. Go read the Song of Solomon. You know how sometimes I say get your pen and your notepad? I don't have a pen and a notepad for you today, because I suggest you read the whole book. And I also suggest maybe you get a kid's Bible and read it. Get a Message Bible and read it. Read it in different interpretations, because some of you already have a hard enough time with the King James Version. Read it in a more simplistic version. I promise you, after you read that Bible, you will feel so romantic towards an individual. This book is it's almost erotic. And when you read the words, I mean, this man and this woman, they are in love with every part of a person's being. You're talking about intimacy to another degree. This man commented her neck. When's the last time a man told you how beautiful your neck was? He commented her eyes, her cheeks. He even talked about the roof of her mouth and how her taste is so sweet. Constantly kept talking about her twins, which were her breasts. I mean, she talked about his legs and how he stood like a strong tower and how his body was so perfectly chiseled. I mean, this man and this woman were, I mean, in total lust for one another. Yes, said lust. The word lust is not bad. Jesus used the word lust when he told the disciples in the upper room, I have lusted for this moment to be with you. Now, they didn't put the word lust in the scripture, but if you click on the word to see what it was in the previous language, it's the same word lust in any other part of the Bible. Lust in itself just means strong desire. Lust becomes a sin, it should only be associated with being bad when what you're lusting for something that is anti-God. Lust is not bad. Lust for the wrong things are bad. So back to what I'm saying. You go back and you read the Song of Solomon, and this man and this woman, you know, are celebrating every attribute of each other's body. And, I mean, even at one point he said, I don't care where I see you. Even if I see you in the streets, I want to just take you and I want to kiss you and I want to take you home to my mother. You know, and so it's very open. It's very, very open. So, once again, I'm very, very lost as to why at some season in our lives as women we have become very closed. And very, you know, very sacred, very pure, and very holy. Matter of fact, one of the most biggest areas that I have seen women of God make a mistake in is you get so in love with God, and you don't want to be perverted, so to speak, at least that's what you call it in your own mind, that I find a lot of women denying their husbands. I'm not saying that this doesn't go the other way around, but I see it more with women than with men. It's some men that's out of order too. But I have met a plethora of women in my lifetime who have not been intimate with their spouse because they're fasting. You know, no, you know, right now I'm fasting, and look, I'm just going through some things, and I really need to get close to the Lord right now, and, you know, it's all about the woman and God. But see, but you don't understand, he said, how do you love a God you don't see, and you have a problem loving a brother that you do see? So let me take the scripture and say, how do you reach out to love a God that you can't see, and you got a whole husband sitting up in front of you that you ain't embracing that you do see? Because even in the scriptures in Corinthians, he says, this dude benevolence. He said, husband, your wife, your body ain't your own. You better give it up to your wife. He said, wife, your body's not your own. You better give it up to your husband. He said, don't stop giving it up. This is the August paraphrasing, but go read 1 Corinthians chapter 7. He said, don't stop giving it up to each other. You know, be active. He said, only for a very short period of time, you know, with the general consensus, you can stop doing this just to fast. He said, but don't do it for an extended period of time, because then you give the devil room to invade your relationship. So God even said it. Even in your attempts to reach out to me in holiness with fasting, So you women that's fasting 3 days and then going from 3 days to 7 days, then talking about you on a 40-day fast and holy consecration, what you doing? I know everybody don't have to have it every day of the week, three or four times a week, but I mean, for real, I mean, oh, Jesus Christ, we down to less than 1 day a week. We down to less than 1 day a month. People have needs. And I'm not condoning a lack of control. I'm not condoning adulterous relationships. But what in the heck do you expect your spouse to do? And if it's you, me, and it's doing it, of course, I'm talking to you too. What do you expect the person to do that has needs? So, yeah, you know, there's the physical need and there's an emotional need. And we need to restore this in the kingdom. Young people, especially, come on now. When he saw you with your stilettos on and your calves popping out and, you know, he saw you with your little outfit on and your tatas were sitting up high up on your chest, that's what he saw. Now, you can't start dressing like Grandma Hannah and trying to scarf around your neck and covering everything over. You know, I remember back in the day, a long time ago, whether you like my analogy or not, Steve Harvey did one of the, you know, Def Comedy Jam stand-up, one of them stand-ups or whatever, and he talked about women, you have to stay sexy. He said, I don't care if you wear 500 pounds. Put a thong on. And he said, even if you trip on the bed because you can't hardly walk in the heels, a man don't care, just do it. And you know what? And that is the reality. That's where we need to get back to. You know, in Proverbs, in chapter 5, it talks about how a man should be satisfied with the wife from his youth. And that her breast, it literally says, and let her breast satisfy you all the days of your life. In Genesis, Jacob wanted to marry this woman named Rachel. The father tricked him to working for Rachel for 7 years and gave him his other daughter named Leah. And when he did that, when he tricked him at the altar, he was like, well, if you want Rachel, you have to work another 7 years. And he did. And the scriptures say that Jacob, it said that he went ahead and he worked another 7 years, but it was like days to him. That's romantic. I'm going to do whatever I got to get. To get the woman that I always wanted and the woman that I love. You know, the bottom line is when you're reading the Word of God, you will see what you are looking for and you will not see what you push yourself away from. The Word of God is very romantic. It's very about relationships. Excuse me. Abraham and Sarah didn't have the only immaculate conception is Jesus Christ. Now, even though they were supposed they had lost their virtue because they was old, hey, they did something for Sarah to be having a baby at 90 and Abraham to be 100 years old. Romance. Ruth laid at Boaz's feet. Romance. It's in the Bible. Adoration for the opposite sex. It is there. The only perversion is when you just say, I'm going to give what I got to whoever I want to give it to as opposed to who God told you to give it to. But people, let's stop getting saved and then believe while we're in this metamorphosis to holiness that all of a sudden we become boring. You don't stop doing what you're doing. See, the Word of God says let the marriage bed be undefiled. That doesn't mean you can't start letting people say, oh, well, you know, unless you do a missionary style, that's undefiled. You know, let me say the two big words. You know that if you engage in oral sex, that would be defilement. You know, and people begin to put labels on things and tell you what is and what is not appropriate. What isn't appropriate is for you to be living like a whoremonger and it's you and every Tom, Dick, and Harry in your bed. And for you to be very Sally Sue and whoever. But what goes on in the intimacy in your room, if that's what brings you and your spouse pleasure, unless you can find it verbatim and you're going to show me in the scriptures what God said don't do something, then you're not going to get me to start feeling guilty. Because, if you want to mess with your man while he driving a car, mess with your man while he driving a car. You want to give him googly eyes when you're in a restaurant? Give him googly eyes in the restaurant. You want to kick your feet up under the table? You know, you do those things. You be romantic. You express who you are. You don't wait and come back home and act like it's a chore. Did you ejaculate? Okay, you got yours in. Fine. Okay, good night. Go to bed. No, be all over each other. Be hungry about it. If that's your nature and that's what you do, be that way. Don't be something different. You know, there's a scripture in the Bible in Romans. I want to say that it's Romans chapter 14. If I'm wrong, just look for the chapter where it's talking about not judging people in what they eat and not in meat. At the end of that chapter, the very last verse, after going back and forth, and he's talking about, look, some people are going to eat meat, some ain't going to eat meat, et cetera, et cetera. Some people deal with stuff that's sacrificed to idols, blah, 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 blah. He said, look, at the end of the day, If you've already created doubt in your mind, you've already created sin. Don't create sin in your life. Oh, well, I really don't know if I can or I shouldn't do that because, you know, it's probably wrong. When you begin to perpetuate that thought process, if you're thinking that it's offensive to God and you do it anyway, then you're sinning. Think about that. Something could not be a sin, but because you've labeled it as a sin, if you have the audacity to say that something is wrong to do before God and you do it anyway, you created your own sin because you put your own, remember when the Bible says, judge not lest ye be judged, the same manner in which ye judge is the same judgment you will meet. So what happened is you accelerated the judgment towards yourself because you've already judged an act, a thing that people do, and you've said that it's sin. And so that same judgment is going to be looked upon towards you if you can, if you engage in this same behavior. But the thing about it is it'll be one of those things where it's between you and God. He'll know it, and that's going to be between you and him because you basically put yourself in a trap. You imprisoned yourself by your own thought process. Let's not make our thought process messed up. Let me tell you something. There are a lot of Christians out there who will go to the Old Testament and they will do something like this. Well, you know that's why God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. You know, the word Sodom, Sodomite, Sodomy, you know, that's a sin. That's why, you know, so that's like the connection, for instance, you know, with oral sex. And why you shouldn't or should not do it. Let me explain something to you. The scriptures are very explicit and plain when you read the story of Lot. The homosexuality, there was perversion and self-adornment going on in there. They were so perverted that they even tried, the men in the city tried to hook up with the men angels that came to the city. They were so blatantly blasphemous. They had no respect towards God, therefore the city was destroyed. But to draw that conclusion from that scripture to condemn someone who might be willing to express that to you, that right there is an error. Let me tell you something. The Bible talks about how we are free through Christ Jesus and how we're not bound by the law. It says that the law is what kept us in prison, and we're not supposed to go back to that. If you love God, he will teach you what not to do that is offensive to him. When people start bringing up a whole bunch of rules to me, I start making people get confused, okay? Because even though I can't necessarily quote every scripture and where it's at, I did a lot of law reading when I was younger because I had to. That's how I got into not eating pork. Now, even though I decided that I didn't want to eat it, the bottom line is it was like, you don't eat fish, you don't eat swine, you don't eat the cloven hoof, all of these different things. Well, how many of you know that there are scriptures specifically in the Bible that say that when a woman has had her menstrual cycle, that it's like an entire week before a man is supposed to lay by her again? When a woman has an issue of blood, that she's basically like an outcast. So, hello, pastors, preachers, teachers that are coming down hard on people, did you go read that law? It's all kind of stuff that's all up in Leviticus that don't nobody keep in, that the people don't keep up with the code of conduct, so to speak. You got to understand what was in that time and for that reason, versus what's for now and in this reason. What it is that God has called us to do and what God said in Hebrews, he said the old covenant didn't work. We're not going by the old covenant. We're going by the new covenant. And the new covenant is I'm covering you in the blood of Jesus Christ. All you need to do is accept him. So my thing is, it's even saints, even when someone comes to you and says something that sounds really, really good, that makes a lot of sense, before you just take it and say, hey, yeah, okay, yeah, I agree. Oh, my gosh, that's me. I'm in error. Oh, man, now I need to go somewhere and pray and fast and fix myself. Slow down. What do I always say? Do your own homework. Go read about the story of Songs of Solomon. Go look at the scriptures in Proverbs. Go do your own research and find them. Don't listen to what I'm saying. I've already even given you a snippet of contradictory scripture that could be taken out of context in the New Testament. When it's, that's in Timothy and Titus. when it talks about a women and how we're supposed to be in the church, and men, if you're going to be leaders and deacons, well, that's the, in that passage, that's where it talks about how, you know, you're not, your beauty is not to be because of the adornment of jewelry and all of that stuff. That didn't mean that we couldn't wear it. It, like I said before, it's just where your identity was not supposed to come from. So my thing is I want relationships to be healthy. And I don't care what anybody says. We were created by the Creator, and the Creator created sex. So I don't understand why it needs to be a topic, and why we need to sweep it up under the rug, and we can't talk about it, or why we can't be proud about it, and why we can't embrace it. We don't have to be erotic like porn, and we don't have to put it all over TV like Hollywood, but we should definitely be proud of what God has given to us. Christians should have the best sex. Nobody should be better at doing what we're doing than we do, because at the end of the day, we not only do we have the erotic type of love, sexual intimacy, we have agape love. We have love that allows us to love people even beyond a fault. They love unconditionally. And we all know that at the core, especially for women, at the core of being able to be intimate is also relationship. So when we love someone and we feel love, then we want to be with them even more, touched by them even more. So on top of just having a natural desire for somebody, we got the Spirit of God up on us. Well, we should be desiring of our spouses like it ain't nothing. You know, so today was, you know, a quick, simple, to the point. I just don't want the saints being prudes. And I hope that I've said something to spark your thought process. And if somebody comes to you and wants to talk to you about it, that I've given you something different to say if you were the person that was, you know, kind of shutting it down. You know, and if you're the person that's having trouble in this area, I hope it broadened your horizons to make you want to think about or do things differently. You know, this could go more in depth. It could go to different aspects. We can kind of chop it and splice it. But I do believe that this is something that should be highly interactive so that people can put questions and comments out there. So I know I could talk forever. I don't believe that that's what I'm supposed to do with this message. I believe that I was supposed to put it out there and with God's justification with the scriptures, and then for you to use it. So if there are no questions or comments that anyone has that they want to actually say on the air, then just remember you can always email me your questions and comments, and I'll address them on the radio show. You can find me on Facebook and, you know, even, you know, inbox me there. It's AugustCrenshaw@yahoo.com and August Crenshaw on Facebook. That's AugustCrenshaw@yahoo.com. Look, let's get out there and let's have some healthy relationships, okay? Let's not stop. Let's not act like the word Christian is synonymous with the phrase boring sex, because it is not. Let's just celebrate love. Let's celebrate intimacy, and let's look at it from God's perspective. Thank you all for tuning in, and I will speak to you next week. Bye-bye.